Monday, October 13th. Buck Pop is speaking to you from Hangar Number 6, Maxwell Field, Montgomery, Alabama, headquarters for the Southeast Air Corps Training Center of the United States Army. 4,000 aviation cadets, Royal Air Force cadets, and enlisted men are gathered for this special broadcast of Buck Pop, the Voice of the People, conducted by Clark Johnson and Wally Butterworth, and brought to you every week by Bromo Seltzer. In the background, you can hear planes warming up for special night flying. You're about to meet typical American and English boys undergoing intensive training for vital Air Corps service. Parks and Wally have just made their appearance, and here is a roar from the 4,000 Air Corps men. And here, ladies and gentlemen, is that smiling Texan, Park Johnson.
Hello, folks. And, folks, among the thousands of men out here in training, in this training area, among the thousands of them are some 1,200 RAF young men over here to get their wings. With me at the microphone is one of those 1,200 young RAF flying cadets. Your name is, please?
Barley.
Colin Barley.
Colin Barley. And where is your home?
In London, Mr. Johnson.
In London, England. Before we go any farther with this, I'd like you to tell me something. Do you RAF men brew your own tea in this country?
Well, I tell you, Mr. Johnson, that America is about the only place I've ever brewed my own tea.
Is that so?
A term that ought to belong to Mother. But out here, tea served up here in the shape of a hot jug of water and a little bag on the end of a long string.
Yes. How many bags do you put to a jug?
Well, in camp, as many as we can usually scrounge.
Several bags per cup, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. You didn't mind that little kid in there, did you? What were you doing in England before you went into service?
No, you mean my employment?
Yes.
Well, I was assistant production manager.
Of what?
We an aircraft firm. We made fuselages and tail units and wings.
I see. You were really in service then, were you not?
More or less, yes.
Now, on your way over, I'm not going to ask you how you got here or anything like that, because, of course, you couldn't tell me. But did you have any excitement on the way over?
Well, about 3 days out from England, the rumor went around the boat that the Bismarck was after us.
Yeah?
And in the words of the RAF, there were oodles of panic.
That little matter was taken care of all right.
Yes.
You're pretty far along in your training. How many weeks have you been here?
Well, we've been here about 18 weeks.
About 18 weeks. Done any hedge hopping?
Do you want me to answer officially?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't put you on the spot like that. But just so that you can get a little training and get ahead of the rest of the boys, we brought you a nice little hedge here to put in your room where you can do a little hedge hopping.
Oh, thank you.
You can use that now and you get ahead of the rest of the class. Tell me, seriously, are you impatient to get back, or are you having such a good time you don't want to go back, or what is the situation? How do you feel about this thing?
Oh, we're having a grand time in America, but I can tell you that all of us just want to get back and have a snack at it.
You just want to get back and do your bit.
You can learn.
Have you picked up any flying over here?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you have, huh?
You said.
All right, what would I mean if I said I was behind the eight ball?
Behind the eight ball?
Uh-huh.
Well, I should imagine that if you're behind the eight ball, you're almost in a fix.
Almost in a fix.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be almost in it. I would be in it. What does it mean when somebody says go to town? He went to town or something like that. In that expression, that way.
Go to town. Well, in England, that means that.
Over here, what does that mean?
Over here.
Yeah.
Oh, that means that you're really going to go to it.
Yeah, I guess you are.
Well.
I think right here we ought to rest a little bit and give you a little reward for being such a good sport. Bromo Seltzer wants you to while away your idle hours, what you may have presently. So we have for you a combination radio and phonograph. I hope you and the men around you enjoy it very much.
Thank you very much.
You mind doing a little stunt here? You're a pretty good sport. I tell you, we got a little... something requires a bit of acting. Here's the situation. You are leaving.
Wait a minute, boys.
Wait a minute. Let me tell the folks who can't see what's going on. You're leaving your best girl in England or somewhere, to come to Maxwell Field. Now, you've got, in 20 seconds, you've got to tell her how heartbroken you are about meeting. Now, we've got Sergeant Williamson of Fulton, Kentucky, here with us. He's going to do the same thing. Now, here's the girl, Miss Priscilla Scott, who is Miss USO of Montgomery. We want you to know Cadet Barley of England. Now,
how do you do?
How do you do, Miss
Scott? Now, Cadet Barley, in 20 seconds, go to it. Tell her how sorry you are for me. Let us go to the microphone.
Oh, Priscilla, much as I hate this parting, it's just got to be. Please, darling, please keep that beautiful chin of yours held high. It'll help me to go to it. Now, Priscilla, it's just losing it, so goodbye.
Well done now. Now then, Sergeant Williamson, I want to see if you can make a fancier farewell. And Miss USO, will you decide when to get you which man you would hate to see go most?
Miss Scott. I mean, Priscilla. This is no time for words.
Well, stop talking then.
Hey, well, you can use your own imagination, folks. Now, Miss Scott, what would you say?
Well, I would just hate to tell either one of them, did that.
Very nicely said, and I would, too, because they're both fine fellows. Well, now, I think you're very diplomatic, and Bromo Seltzer's award for three good sports is an all-expense paid for the three of you to see the light operetta, Blossom Time, which will be here in Montgomery on the 27th, and that includes dinner and dancing for an entire evening, and we will arrange for chaperone. Yeah. Thank you very much. Come on. Thank you very much.
Now, before a handsome cadet from Missouri steps in here, just a brief word. If you're one of those unfortunate people who almost always suffer from jangled nerves and upset stomachs whenever you have a headache, this may be for you a most important message. Countless thousands of people who suffer just that way have now found quick, effective relief from such headache miseries in a sparkling glass of Bromo Seltzer. You see, this formula has been scientifically designed to fight headaches miseries three ways at the same time. Yes, Bromo Seltzer contains medically recognized properties that first relieves the pain of the headache itself. Second, helps calm nerves. Third, helps settle upset stomach. It's because Bromo Seltzer does work on the head, nerves, and stomach, because it does bring three-way relief that you feel better so quickly. More alert, both mentally and physically. Of course, if you're troubled with persistent or recurring headaches, you should see your doctor. But for that occasional splitting headache, take Bromo Seltzer. See what a difference it makes when you fight headache miseries three ways at the same time. Okay, Wally, carry on from Uncle Sam's Southeast Air Corps Training Center.
Thank you very much, Bill. All right, sir. Will you tell us your name?
Yes, sir, Wally. My name is Whitson Van Arsel.
And what class are you in here?
I'm in 41A.
In other words, you have 3 weeks to go to get your wings.
Well,
is that right?
Sir, just 3 weeks.
What's your home, sir?
That's Missouri.
What's your college?
I went to the University of Missouri.
Well, we'll try and show you since you're from Missouri. Do you have any brothers and sisters, and what are they?
I have one brother. He's in Alaska now. He's in the Air Corps.
In the Air Corps?
He's up there as a lieutenant in the Air Corps. Been up there for about 6 months now.
Van, are you a farm boy?
Yes, sir. I'm a farm boy.
How large farm and what do you raise?
Well, we raise quite a few sheep. Have lots of Jersey cows. And
what caused you to join the Aviation Cadet Corps?
Well, I always have liked to fly a lot. The Army Air Corps has a lot to offer, I think. Had a fine opportunity for us.
Mm-hmm.
They're just giving it to us, and it's here for the taking.
Well, up to now, what kinds of maneuvers and in what types of ships have you learned them?
Well, we started out the first 3 months in a primary ship, a PT.
Well, I mean, what kind of maneuvers have you learned?
Oh, we've learned elements, slow rolls, loops, reversal reversements, all that. We don't get to do that much now, though, down here.
You don't?
Mostly all combat.
Well, what would you say is the most difficult part of this aviation course?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose the estimates, flying estimates, is about the most difficult, most unnatural.
Flying blind.
I'm not a natural flyer, but that estimate is as far from being unnaturally unnatural I've ever seen.
In other words, they answer, they give you sense enough to fly, then they take your senses away from you.
That's
the way
exactly
it's
right.
That hand, what moving part of an airplane would you say has the least, just the least amount of units? What moving part of an airplane would you say when it's in flight gets the least amount of units?
Well, not the pilot.
No, the part of the plane.
The moving part.
Yes, sir. Wouldn't be the landing gear, would it?
No, it wouldn't be the landing gear.
Why not? I think it would.
Is that right?
Why, sure, you only use it when you land and take off and use the plane the rest
That's
of the time.
That's just awfully hard use for your land.
Say, Ben, I'll bet you, you know, you're a sort of a handsome son of a gun, and I'll bet you a lot of girls sell you that too, don't they?
Yeah, just a little.
You must have about a million of them out there in Brookfield, Missouri, but is there anyone in particular?
This is radio. I see myself all right here.
Well, go right ahead. The microphone is yours.
Yes, I have one in particular. I have a very fine girl in St. Joseph, Missouri.
You do?
Yes.
By the way, up to now, you've won yourself, which every aviator is going to need, a nice shaving kit. Maybe give it to you now, fully equipped.
Oh.
And there is a stop on the phone myself. So you have a one and only in St. Joseph, Missouri. What's her name? Come on.
Miss Suzanne Chilton, 22nd Lover's Lane.
What? What? No, wait a minute. What is that address again?
That was 22nd Lover's Lane. She lives on the corner.
That's not a nickname, is it?
No, that's...
All right, come here a minute, will you?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
all right. You sure that's not a nickname?
What's that, the street?
Yeah.
No, that's right. She lives on the corner. The other one's North 27th Street.
I see. Well, that's... Oh, absolutely, she did the pass up. You may not pass it up, as a matter of fact. Now, what have a gas stove, an airplane, and... that is, an airplane in flight, and a shark in common? That's all right. It's a gas stove, it's an airplane in flight, and a shark in common. What have they all in common?
You know that.
Why, they all have pilots, don't they? A gas stove has a pilot, an airplane has a pilot, and a shark has a little pilot too. All right, now you may be getting married one of these days, and in the event that you do, here's the foundation for your love nest. Bring out that wheelbarrow load full of bricks, will you, please? Thank you very much. Dan, how do you best hope to serve America by your tenure here in the aviation corps?
Did you mean while I'm in training here?
Yeah, or after you get out.
Well, what we're getting here was all Uncle Sam to the cadet. We're not doing much in the way of really doing the country much good, I guess. But all our duty is time after we get out and prove ourselves as officers.
That's fine indeed. You need a lot more training.
Well, Parson, you know that little matter?
Yes, sir.
I'm ready.
Oh, you are?
Uh-huh.
Young man, here is a long-distance telephone, which I believe is connected with 22 Lover's Lane, St. Joseph, Missouri. Suzanne,
just a minute. I have someone who wishes to speak to you. Go right ahead, my boy, and talk to her.
Tell her how much you love her.
Hello, honey. How are you? Right? Did you get that letter all right? You did? You were pretty slow about answering it.
Dan, you go ahead and finish that conversation in private and come back here later. Don't worry, just keep out on talking as long as you want. It's all right. Come on in, Park.
Okay, Wally. The next is a man who represents a very large group of men, men without whom there wouldn't be any keep 'em flying. Next to me is Sergeant Herman C. Sharp of Wichita, Kansas, chief of a ground crew who really keeps these planes flying. How are you, Sergeant?
Very good, Tony.
And Wichita, Kansas, that's your old home, isn't it?
Yes.
Sergeant, I know that you could tell me how much weight any plane, if I gave you the type, could carry, could lift. But I wonder if you'd estimate for me just about what percent of its own weight the average honeybee could buy off with, eh?
I'd say from 97%.
Well, pretty good. It'll run from 100 to 120, up to 120%. I just wanted to find out right in the beginning what you knew about this engine business, and I believe you do. How long have you been in the Army?
Been in the Army 4 years.
4 years?
Yes.
What'd you do before that?
I work in the oil field work.
Is that right?
Yes.
All around Kansas, huh?
Yes.
Maybe down Oklahoma and stuff
well,
like that?
Well, in Oklahoma, yes.
Doing roughnecking?
That was my job. It was roughnecking.
Roughnecking on the oil well. The oil folks who don't know what that is, that's a real hard job, it's that. Are you married?
Yes, sir.
And your family here?
Yes, sir. My wife and daughter are here.
Let me tell you a little secret. I know your daughter is here because we're pulling a little fast one on you now. Right here, we want to stop a minute and bring out, first of all, little Joanne. Where is your daughter, Joanne? Bring her up, will you, please, little Joanne? And for Joanne, not for you, is a cute little coat, a little dress, a hat, and a place to match.
Thanks.
Well, let's get Joanne up here and see if we can't, Joanne, do you see these little things? Do you think you can use them? No, Daddy can't use them. How do you like that red coat?
It's fine.
The red coat all right, and that purse go with it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we hope you have a lot of fun wearing those things. We just had to get little Joanne on the air. Thank you very much. Sergeant, you're very lucky. You've got a beautiful young daughter. Come on back over here. I want to find out a little bit more about you. Three Army Aviation Training Centers, such as this. Three of them. This is one of them. United States. Give me the other two.
See, we have Maxwell Field, Randolph Field, Texas, and Moffett Field, California.
That's right. Each one does the same type of job. Isn't that true? Standardized. What is your crew's job? What do you men do specifically?
We have a maintenance crew. Our job is to pull the inspections after the pilot has turned the ship in.
Uh-huh.
And we pull 25 hours.
Little Joanne is right. She's trying on a coat over there.
50-hour inspections.
Another way.
50-hour inspections.
Another way.
Bring up the engine thing.
That engine, when the pilot takes it out. What's little Joanne doing down there?
Oh, I see.
That engine is in perfect shape when the man takes it up in the air, isn't that right?
Yes.
If I wanted to be a ground crew expert and to enlist in the Army, could I enlist and ask to be sent to that rank?
Yes, sir.
Do you need any more men?
We surely do.
Now?
That's a good man now.
Good men, huh?
Yes.
I know they're good. Well, Sergeant, you rode high, wide, and handsome on that one. So I'm going to ask you that your reward be ridden in if they can find room around here to ride it in. Can you come up here? Oh, coming right up. Oh, it's built for two. It's one of those old-time bicycles. Can you use it, Sergeant?
I can sure use it.
Well. Almost little Joanne is big enough to do that.
Can I get that well?
Yeah, you get the Mother Hubbard and all with it. That's
right.
That is what they were laughing at down there. I couldn't see. Do you fly yourself, Sergeant?
Yes, I'm on flying status. However, I do not fly the ship.
I
go along with help.
I see. Well, how high do they fly in training here?
Ceiling.
Ceiling? 22,000,
yes.
Something like that? They really get some training here, don't they?
Yes, sir, they really do.
And thorough.
Yes.
And I've heard an expression around Maxwell Field and never heard it anywhere else. I'd like to know what it means. What does swivel neck mean?
Well, in my opinion, swivel neck would be someone that had been in actual combat and was always looking around to see if...
Oh, turning the head right, left,
yes,
up, down,
yes.
So to be sure nobody
I believe that's correct.
I think that sounds all right anyway. Well, Sergeant, for yourself and your family this time, and for little Joanne, too, Bromos also wants you to have this portable radio. You can plug it in, or you can carry it with you. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Enjoyed having you. Keep them fine, Sergeant. All right, Wally, how about it?
Here's a letter, Fox, from George Chalmers of Los Angeles, California, which may be the means of helping a lot of you people. He writes, I'm subject to occasional splitting headaches, which upset my stomach and leave me feeling miserable. I suffered like this for years until I discovered bromo-seltzer. Now when I get a headache, I take a glass of bromo-seltzer, and I'm quickly relieved of these discomforts. You, too, will find every word Mr. Chalmers wrote is true. The very first time you try bromo-seltzer. So successful has this great product been in fighting headache miseries, many families have written that they have used it for three entire generations. So next time your head is throbbing, your nerves have gone haywire, and your stomach feels upset, take bromo-seltzer according to directions on the label. See what a difference it makes when you take a preparation that works on the head, nerves, and stomach all at the same time. Okay, Wally, who's our next aviation ace?
All right, thank you very much, Bill. Say, we finally got that fella Van Ostel off the telephone to his sweetheart out there. You were certainly going to town, Van. And here's another gift for you. Bromo Seltzer wishes to reward your sweetheart in this way. It wishes to pay all expenses of this young lady from St. Joseph, Missouri to Montgomery, Alabama, and return, and have her put up at our fine Jefferson Davis Hotel here so that she may witness 12 weeks from now your receipt of your wings as a flying cadet of the United States Army. How's that? Okay, Van, and I know she was listening. Thanks a lot. And now, here is another of the RAF boys, typical of the 1,200 here and 750 who will be in here day after tomorrow. Will you tell us your name, sir?
My name's Frank Banner.
Where are you from, Mr. Banner?
I'm from Dunfermline, Scotland.
Dunfermline?
Dunfermline, that's
Where's right. that?
Well, it's about 12 miles north of Edinburgh.
Oh, that's the old Scottish capital.
That's it.
How much schooling have you had there in your age?
My age, I'm 19 years old, and I've just finished high school.
Aha. Were you in the RAF before you came here?
I was in the RAF 9 months before I came here.
What did you do?
I looked after the machine gun and saw it was in good firing order, and when anything came near, I wasn't allowed to fire, so I didn't look much similar.
Well, you're quite young, but you should know this. What was the RAF called in the last World War?
RAF was called the Royal Flying Corps, and in 1917 it was amalgamated into the Royal Air Service.
RFC is all I wanted to know. That's right. Did you know Barley, whom Parks interviewed here a few minutes ago?
Yes, I know this Barley very well.
You did? Uh-huh. Well, I'll tell you something. He got a phonograph and radio combination, and for you, we have 25 records of the latest song and dance hit.
Thank you.
So you can go and borrow his big soul and play them on. Any of your family in the Army, the Navy?
My dad, he's a commander in the Royal Navy.
What is his job?
Well, he just pays attention to a lot of little boats and...
What do you mean, little boats?
Well, a lot of little boats in the Navy that go out and look after convoys. He makes sure they go to sea, and he picks them just to go to sea.
What kind of boats are they?
Oh, some of the American destroyers sprinkled amongst them.
Some of our American destroyers are there. Yeah. Is that a fact? Well, you know, all pilots have a superstition as to a certain article of ladies' wearing apparel. Now, what is it?
Well, that's a lady's silk stocking, if I'm not mistaken.
Which one?
Left, I think it is.
That's right. Now, what do they do with it?
Well, they tie it around their neck or their helmet somewhere.
That's right. They wear it as a muffler, and they put it on their head as a helmet. Fine. All right. I don't know whether who you're going to give these to, but we have 6 pairs of silk stockings here for you.
Right.
You can send those right back to England. Send them home. Yeah, have you seen the results of any of the bombings in England, Mr. Donner?
Well, I've seen several towns have been hit.
Where?
London and Liverpool and Plymouth.
Plymouth?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that must have been pretty hot. Did you spend any time there?
Well, I know Plymouth pretty well. I lived there for 11 years.
Who, you did live there?
Well, my grandparents were natives of Plymouth.
Oh, is that a fact? You weren't there by chance when they dropped those 30,000 in one night, those incendiaries, were you?
Well, it was near enough to see a lot of it.
You were?
Yes.
How far out were you?
About 20-30 miles away, and you could see everything went on.
Has the bomb got any of your family?
The bomb got my grandparents twice, and in Plymouth, and once since they've changed in Plymouth.
How much do those incendiaries weigh?
Oh, from 2 to 3 pounds, I imagine.
How many did they drop at once?
As many as they can carry, and they've only dropped in bunches of 50 from what they call north of Rome.
Uh-huh. Well, now, as a Scotchman, don't you think that the dropping of 30,000 incendiary bombs in one night is a sort of a waste of incendiaries? Wouldn't you say so?
But I thought it was a very bad waste for the dropping of just now.
Well, now, I'll tell you, just so that you don't get wasteful of your pennies over here, here are 100 pennies for you, and there's a nice big pair of pinchers for a good Scotchman to pinch him with.
Ah, thank you.
And thank you very much. Incidentally, we should like to announce now that Bromo Seltzer has another surprise for you. Both Mr. Banner's and Mr. Barley's interview on Vox Pop tonight have been recorded and are going to be sent by clipper ship right straight back to their families in England, but they may have them as a matter of permanent record. All right, Vox.
Very nice, Barley. Now, first, the navigators are really important men in Uncle Sam's military plan. Without them, you couldn't get around these clouds, through these storms, get there, and come back. You know, they take them there and they bring them back. With me now, here's the navigator. He's Cadet John Crawford of Baltimore, Maryland. How are you, Cadet Crawford?
It's fine, sir.
Well, we're glad to have you here, and we're glad to be here with you. Cadet, so we are observing today, of course, yesterday was the day, but we're observing Columbus Day today. You knew that, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Don't you think that the navigation has improved quite a little bit since the days of Columbus?
It certainly has, sir. Now we know where we're going.
Oh, you know where you're going nowadays. Well, it has improved that. I want to ask you a little bit about the navigation. But first of all, how'd you happen to see it?
Well, I chose navigation because I'm in college. I took some math and science, and I thought that would be very applicable to navigation.
Uh-huh.
I took it up.
You really like it?
Yes, sir.
And you need more men in that field?
Yes, sir. They have a program now of about 30,000 pilots a year. And if you take for that, they have to have a couple thousand navigators a year.
That's right. Well, now, I think right here we are entitled to have a little rest. Wait a minute. Let me bring out this 8mm movie camera first and give it to the cadet. And I see that Mr. Tuff here has a very important telephone business going on over here. Ah, have you, mate? And the picture? First of all, Mr. Crawford, for your fine public speaking, Bomo Shelter has an unusual presence. It's a life-size picture of the famous movie actress, Paul Exotic. Will you hand it to Mr. Crawford? Isn't she pretty? Ah, she's very pretty. Now, Mr. Crawford, Miss Goddard is being seen on the screen in Hold Back the Dawn, and will soon be seen opposite Bob Hope in Nothing But the Truth. But right at this very moment, she's waiting in Hollywood for a special telephone conversation that we've arranged, and she's waiting to talk to you. Miss Goddard? The cadet.
Hello, Miss Goddard. Just a minute, so I catch my breath. What did you say? This is Cadet Crawford, John Crawford.
Maxwell Field, Alabama.
This is Maxwell Field, Alabama. What did you say? What? Miss Goddard, if I could get out to Hollywood there, how about a date?
I think you better finish this conversation in private. Thank you very much. All right, Wally, how about it? Are you ready? I don't think you ought to eavesdrop anymore. Do you, men?
How's your name, sir?
My name is John DeBarthy.
You're sort of a rookie around here, aren't you, John?
Yes, I've only been here 9 days.
Where are you from?
Hartford, Connecticut.
Boy, you'd have gone to town with Miss Goddard over there, isn't it? What's your college?
Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut.
Trinity College. What decided you upon the aviation for that score?
Well, we live right near the Department of the Aircraft Company, which makes about the best motors in the world.
We did a broadcast there a few weeks ago.
And I think that's been the main problem.
Is that a fact? Do you feel that this is a critical time in the history of the country right now?
I believe it's the most critical time this country will ever face.
Well, how do you feel about this whole situation? You're just going into this thing. You've only been here 9 days.
Well, the Army's done a wonderful job. I hope the civilian population can do half as good a job as the Army has done.
Well, I'll tell you, you're just starting out on your training, and we want you to help you out. Every good cadet can use himself a good, tough leather coat when he gets up in that plane. So there's one for you.
Thank you.
Now tell us just what they've done to you in the 9 days you've been here.
Well, they've taught us how to march, and they gave us uniforms, and they've inoculated us, and they've...
Inoculated you for what?
Tetanus, typhoid, and smallpox so far. And
what, no mumps, measles?
No mumps and measles, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Now, the American squadron is called the Eagle Squadron. It's flying with the RAF right now. What was the squadron called which flew with the French in the First War?
I believe it was the Lafayette Squadron.
You believe absolutely right. And by that, you win yourself. Bring out that baby carriage here, will you, for a little while? Don't climb into that thing. Take a picture, will you?
Why, sure. That's a perfect fit.
Perfect fit.
Yes, sir. Perfect fit. You can't lose. Are we all through, mate? All right. I'm sorry, but our time is up, and here's it.
Before the big show to be put on by the Citizens Committee for the Army and Navy begins here in the hangar, I'd like to say this. Bromo Salter will bring you a program that we think every American will want to hear next week. Vox Pop broadcasting direct from the United States Naval Academy at Annapolis. Tonight's broadcast from Maxwell Field does not constitute endorsement of our product by the War Department, nor by the personnel here in the Southeast Air Corps Training Center. This is Bill Bivens speaking for Bromo Salter.
And we do appreciate the use of the sound equipment of our Citizens Committee. They were wonderful to let us have it.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Attention, please. This Saturday night, October 18th, WABC places its new 50,000-watt transmitter in service. This new increased public service from WABC will be celebrated with a gala full hour dedicatory program Saturday evening beginning at 10 p.m. Make this program your radio must.